And so today we're going to have an opportunity to be reminded something about our position in Christ. And so Paul's going to use a metaphor. And so Paul does that when he talks about our position in Christ, when he refers to the body of Christ. And he uses the human body to describe what this spiritual entity is like. You know, the body of Christ, it's one body, yet many members. And so the Christ, the new creation, it's like that as well. Many members, but different functions or practices within the body. And so that metaphor of the human body is a good metaphor for explaining something to us that's real in the mind of God. And so that emphasizes, though, that metaphor kind of emphasizes the oneness we share. And Christ is the head of that body, and we're the members. And then it looks at to alliterate, we'll go with the word practice. When we look at that metaphor, it emphasizes different practices within the body. Well, Paul uses another metaphor that we'll see today that looks at our position in Christ as being in a building. And so he's looking at the same thing, but he's using a different metaphor. And so in this metaphor, he uses a building, and Christ is described as the cornerstone of the building. And so as the body is used to describe, that metaphor of the human body is used to describe different practices within the body, yet that oneness. I like to think that the building is a good metaphor that describes proximity. You see what I did there? Proximity and practice. And so, and so in the building, the building of God is in this metaphor being used of our position in Christ. We have proximity to other believers as members of the body, or as members of the building in that metaphor. So anyway, this word we're going to consider today, and not every occurrence is going to deal with that context, but this is what led me to want to cover this word. It's epoikodomeo. I know. I can always count on Kathy. I should have written down an alliterated. So our Greek word, so the word we're looking at today, it's a Greek compound word. And so that's why I struggled. It's from oikodomeo, which just literally means to build. Oikodomeo, dameo. It means to build or to make more able. Now, our Greek word that we're going to kind of focus on adds another preposition, ep, oikodomeo. Yeah, ep from epi. And so epi, it kind of... has the idea of location, upon, on. And so the difference is I was kind of hoping to discover a great distinction between the two words. They can be used similarly, but our epoikodomeo tends to emphasize that being built upon a foundation. It just gives it just a little more emphasis upon a foundation that the building's taking place. So I'm going to illustrate our word oikodomeo.
What's the Strong?
The Strong's number? Since I don't use Strong's, I don't know.
Give us a reference.
But if I know that's how you're referring to it, I could bring a Strong's number with me. I'd be glad to add that.
Normally,
oh, okay. Yeah. So first of all, our word, not our word, but the root word, oikodomeo, that occurs approximately 39 times in the New Testament. Our word that has the extra prefix on it, the epoikodomeo, that only occurs 7 or 8 times, depending on how you you handle a textual problem. And I did include it, so I have 8 occurrences. I included it because over in Acts 20:32, so some of you that are carrying an interlinear or a critical text, it won't show up there. And it's interesting, if you have a textual apparatus, for those that know what I'm talking about, they don't even list the textual problem in the critical text apparatus. Yet I grabbed a majority text, and in their apparatus, they say there's overwhelming support in the majority for it. And so I keep running across these. So anyway, I decided to include it. But let me just demonstrate oikodemeo first, the idea to build. That's typically how it's used, but we see it used in the sense to build one up or make one more able. And so I just picked a couple illustrations of that usage. And so you can see that in scripture. But before we start, let's pray and we'll take a look. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your goodness to us. And we pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct in this hour. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So let's look at oikodemeo, to build, we see it translated a number of times in the King James to edify. And so I picked a couple of those illustrations to show. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So 1 Thessalonians, here Paul just encouraging these believers to continue on in their Christian life. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. It's interesting, the one another, it's not our normal word for another here. It's just one-to-one. And so here we see oikodemeo translated to edify, build. Build up one to another, even as also you do. And so there you see. And so I couldn't resist just grabbing another reference here. Is over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 1. Here Paul says, let's see, And so again, the word charity, if you're reading the King James, it should be agape love, it's love. And so Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 8:1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we factually know that we have all knowledge. And then he says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. That's oikodemeo. Love builds up. It builds up. And so, love contributes to, advancing in spiritual matters. Self-sacrificial God quality of love. It edifies. So there's a couple of places we see it used in building up, like edifying. I could have grabbed some other illustrations where we see it just used of like a building of a building, building up. But that's the root of our word. But in our word has the epi prefix in it, so it's epi and then oikodemeo. And so with epi is just to build upon. Metaphorically, it can have the idea to carry up to a higher degree. But there's a building upon a foundation that's being emphasized with this word. And so we want to look at these verses. And so the first occurrence we're going to look at today is back in Acts in chapter 20. And so here Paul is, he's speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. And so he's bypassed Ephesus and he's requested that the elders come down. And he had a number of things to say to them. I'm not going to back up in the context. to grab that, but let's just pick up and drop in Acts 20 and verse 32. We'll pick up in verse 31 for a little bit of context. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And so, he had given them a lot of warnings in this context. And then he's wrapping it up. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you. I commend, I'm placing you alongside, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace and to the word concerning his grace. And so it's interesting. And so now we're going to get to our word, which is able to build you up. And so the which connects back to word, to the word of his grace, the word concerning his grace. He says, I commit you to God and to the word concerning his grace, which is able to build you up, just to build you up upon it, is the idea. And to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. And so that's our first illustration of our compound word. And so I want to go over to Ephesians now. And in Ephesians chapter 2. And so Paul is talking about oneness believers share in Christ. And he's talking about Jew and Gentile in this context. And so let's back up and see this. If we back up to Ephesians 2:15. Now, our verse where we're going to have our word is in Ephesians 2:20, by the way. So in Ephesians 2:15, talking about Christ who's having abolished or just rendered inoperative in his flesh the enmity, talking about the enmity that was between Jew and Gentile. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances we want to change this translation from make to create. This is looking at a creative act. So talking about Christ, for to create in himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man. So making peace. And so, so here we have a new entity. It's referred to as the new man. We could go to other places. It could be referred to as the new creation. That could be referred to as the Christ. And so we're talking about something that occurs as a result of spirit baptism. And so the moment a believer believes the gospel for salvation, that Christ died on behalf of our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. As soon as that's believed for salvation, the believer is baptized into Christ. He's immersed into Christ. The result of that spirit baptism is that we become members of the body of Christ, the church. He's the head. And so what we know from scripture is that is a new creative act. That's a new creation. You could hold your place here in Ephesians 2, and we could go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see. And we want verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now you'll see that King James adds the ellipsis. He is. I would just cross that out. It's just oppositional. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, not a new creature, but a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so this is by spirit baptism. This is how we enter into the body of Christ. Let me take you to Colossians. I'm coming back to Ephesians 2, believe me. Colossians chapter 1, talking about the Son, Colossians 1, verse 18, when it says he is the head of the body, the church. And so here you can see the body and the head are the same thing. The body and the church are the same thing. He's the head of the body, the church. Okay, so coming back to Ephesians 2 then, we see that this talking about Christ to create in himself the two, Jew and non-Jew, into one new man, so making peace, in Ephesians 2:15, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them who were near. And